Now, as you're able, for the hearing of this morning's gospel, which comes from the gospel according to Matthew. And Jesus is telling this parable. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise one who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish one who built his house on sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was its fall. Now when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. And let us pray. O gracious God, we thank you for this day that you've called us together to be in worship and to hear your holy word. And we thank you for the opportunity for your holy word to be proclaimed. And I ask now that you would be present in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, that you would be present in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. There seems to be a renewed interest in genealogy this day. The popularity of companies and websites such as Ancestor.com helps us to find our forebears, to find our roots, to see who it is maybe that's in our family tree that we weren't aware of. Even DNA now is being used to help us to find perhaps what part of the world we've come from. It's also been used to find long-lost family members. And so there's a renewed interest in our roots and in our heritage and what is our foundation. And it's probably, for some of you, not a new practice. Genealogy has been going on for years. You may have searched your family Bibles to search out your family roots, or gone to local places to look through deeds and records to trace your family. It's always been important for us to know who we are and where we've come from. And just as that's true for us as an individual, it's just as important for us as a congregation and a denomination. It's important to know who we are and where we came from. It's important to know what are the roots of our denomination and what is the strong foundation that we have been built upon. In the gospel lesson for this morning, Jesus is talking to the crowds and he's saying to them that if you were a wise one, you would build your life on the Word of God, that solid foundation, that solid rock that is Christ, not on shifting sand that is easily blown away or washed away, but to have that strong foundation that's built on the rock of Christ. That's true for our faith life as well. Our faith life is built on that strong foundation of the Word of God and our belief in Jesus. Our foundation and our heritage needs to be examined every once in a while to be sure that we remember where it is that we've come from and what it is that we build upon. Not too long ago, I had seen a 60 Minutes report about a building in San Francisco that was starting to tilt almost like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And what they had said is that as they built higher, they had forgot to dig lower. Anytime you build a high rise, your foundation needs to go almost as deep as you're going high. It's really important to know what you're building upon and have that strong foundation. It helps you from being tilted or being blown away by any little breeze that might come along. You need to, every once in a while, look at your foundation to be sure that it's still strong, that it's still able to support and bear any new construction, and for a church, any new ministries. Without the undergirding of our heritage, without that strong foundation and our understanding of the past, we might easily be swept away by every storm, by every new doctrine, by any new program, any new trend that comes along. Our past is important to us. It's important to our presence and our present, but it also helps us to build into our future. If we were to do a search of our denomination's ancestry, we'd find that our roots go very deep. They go all the way back to our Hebrew faith. They go through the New Testament understanding of the Christian community. It's built upon the traditions in part of the Roman Catholic Church that became then in England the Anglican Church. Our roots go that far back. But if you were to look also in our family tree, you'd find some very interesting characters. Like John Wesley. You'd find John Wesley and his brother Charles, who were the ones who made Methodism possible. They never wanted to start a new denomination. They were about a reformed movement. They wanted to reform the Anglican Church that they thought was dead and without life. Both John and Charles Wesley were ordained Anglican priests. And while they were at Oxford, they started small groups that were intentional about daily, methodical Bible study. They would practice fasting. They would commit themselves to weekly communion. And for that, they were ridiculed, and they were called Bible Moss or Methodists. Bible Moss and Methodist. I'm really glad that the name Methodist stuck and not Bible Moss, or we'd be the first United Bible Moss of Muncie. It's much better to be United Methodist. But John and Charles Wesley really wanted to do something that would bring the people back to the life of the church. They knew something was missing. And even though they had started all these small groups and accountability groups and tried to get the people to grow deeper, they knew that something else was not yet there. In search of that, John Wesley went to the American colonies as a missionary, but he didn't do very well there. He was only there for 2 years. Part of why he didn't do well is that he refused communion to the governor's daughter, which would never be a wise move for someone as a guest of the governor. But the governor's daughter didn't return his amorous intentions, so he decided that she couldn't have the bread and the cup. So after 2 years, he was sent packing. And so he comes back to England rather depressed and even doubting his faith. But on that voyage back, as the ship encountered a storm, John Wesley also encountered the Moravians, who were singing hymns during that storm, who had a strong faith. Their foundation was their trust and their assurance in God. And John Wesley wanted that. He knew that that was missing. That was what was missing in his life and in the life of the Anglican Church. So he comes home, and reluctantly, he goes to a worship meeting at Aldersgate. And that happened on May 24th, 1738. It's John Wesley's Aldersgate experience. As I said, he goes reluctantly. He doesn't want to go. He's tired and he's worn out. But there, as he hears Luther's preface to the Book of Romans, he says that he felt his heart strangely warmed. He felt that he did trust in Christ and Christ alone for salvation. And he had an assurance that was given to him that Christ had taken away his sins, even his, and saved him from the law of sin and death. That's what John Wesley wrote in his journal after he had had that religious experience at Aldersgate. And he was now on fire with the Holy Spirit. And so with the power of the Holy Spirit and with that new Holy Spirit faith, he and others took the word of God outside the Anglican Church. They would go and preach almost anywhere and everywhere, in fields, in barns, in the mine pits, in the doors of the new industrial revolution. John Wesley took the word to where the people were, not waiting for them to come to church or come to him. It truly was a celebration of new life in Jesus Christ, and that assurance and faith caught. The movement began, and people came out to hear the word, large, huge crowds. And John Wesley would strive to put them into small groups where they could continue to grow deeper. And as they grew deeper, you can imagine that the witness and the mission grew wider. They were reaching out. They were concerned about the social issues of the day. They were concerned about children. They were concerned about those who did not have enough to eat. And new social ministries developed. You can hear in John Wesley's experience who we are today because our mission statement reflects those roots. We truly believe in celebrating new life in Jesus Christ. It's important for us to invite the Holy Spirit into our own lives and in the lives of the congregation. We truly hope that folks, and we expect that folks, will grow deeper in their faith as they study and practice spiritual disciplines. And we strive to reach wider so that those beyond our walls can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. There's a new movement afoot called Fresh Expressions. And Fresh Expressions is just a new name for what Wesley did. Fresh Expressions means taking the Word of God where people are to new places for new people. Not to bring them into our sanctuary, but to help them to know the truth of the gospel message. Truly, who we are today is very much rooted in our heritage and in that strong foundation. It's all part of our Wesleyan DNA. The Archives Committee of our church works diligently to help us understand our foundations and our heritage. They work very hard to help us to recall and remember who we are as the people of God called Methodists here in Muncie. It's not that they want to share a history lesson, but they want heritage to be a living remembrance of who we are. And Heritage Hall, right outside our sanctuary, helps to tell that story. And this morning, with thanks to the Archives Committee, and especially Steve Godfrey for these pictures, we want to highlight the story that Heritage Hall tells. As you can see, as you enter Heritage Hall from the upper parking lot, you are greeted first by the pulpit that was used from 1972 to 1982 on the first floor of this facility where the worshiping congregation gathered. And over that pulpit area, you see a plaque. And that plaque lists the pastors who have served Muncie since 1865. Methodist had a presence in this area, in this valley, since 1791. So we have a strong history. When Pastor Rich comes to be your pastor, he will be the 119th pastor to serve Muncie. Along with other remembrances of our local history, we have the pulley and the clapper from the bell that was used at our former church at 206 South Market Street. Our bell tower now holds that bell. And you see there also the altar table that was used from 1972 until moving upstairs, and the candlesticks from that worship area as well. It's a reminder of the foundation that this worship congregation has, beginning in 1791, moving to that church on South Market Street, and then continuing to this current place. Looking into our current sanctuary through Heritage Hall, you see the memorial cabinet that holds three memorial books, gifts that have been given to this church by faithful members. And in there as well are two time capsules. You see the shovel that was used for the groundbreaking of this facility in May of 1971. And you see the pictures of the pastors who were part of this. Richard Williver, who helped to shape the vision from 1952 to 1963. The Reverend Bruce Smay from 1963 to 1977, who led the congregation up the hill from South Market Street to this location. And then the Reverend Richard Dunlap from 1977 to 1988. In the memorial case, there are two time capsules. And although these are not seen by you, they hold things that are precious to this congregation. First, 1991, which marked 200 years of Methodism here in Muncie, and 1999, which marked the millennium. Heritage Hall also has this beautiful cabinet that tells our story, that tells the story of who we are, and it continues to share our history. The items in there are changed seasonally, thanks to the members of our Archives Committee and others, and they often house artifacts from our past. If you were to look today, it's been decorated for Armed Forces Day and Memorial Day. Heritage Hall also looks out into the world, reminding us that we are called not to stay here in the safety of our sanctuary, not to live in the past, but to go back out into the world to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Heritage Hall also looks into the Welcome Center and the Celebration Center. Although Heritage Hall existed before the addition, it now links our sanctuary to our new ministry opportunities. Worship and witness are always called to go hand in hand. You see there the shovel that was used for the groundbreaking of the new facility on August 24th, 2014. You see the picture of Reverend Mike Gardy, who helped shape the 2020 vision that inspired this new ministry. And you see my picture there as well, as I helped us to make that vision a reality. The hope that's embodied in Heritage Hall is that it will always serve as a link between our past and our future, that we will be reminded of our rich heritage and strong foundation, and that we will continue to build upon it as we lean into our future. We are committed to sharing God's word with one and with all, and especially those who will come after us. As Marilyn read for us this morning in 1 Peter, we are reminded that we are each called to be living stones that are built upon the living stone, the cornerstone that is Christ, that strong foundation. We are to be built into spiritual houses so that we might continue to proclaim the mighty acts of God. The strength of our congregation is not the building, but our people, those who have faithfully served and followed throughout the years, those who had the courage and the vision to continue to build upon the ministries and continue the witness, those who trust that the foundation is sure and aren't afraid to continue to grow deeper, reach wider, and give of their best selves. That's our true heritage. That's our strong foundation. And truly, that's our hope for the future. Amen.